Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
People like to portray that, oh, I was a year later, my whole life changed and it was this beautiful thing and I have all these luxury things. That defeats the whole purpose of surrendering to God. That's not what we're doing.
Hey, babe.
It's Aisha Christina. Nice to meet you.
This is Quality Queen Control.
What is happening?
Hey angels, make sure to head over to my website, aishachristina.com, to download my free guide on idolatry. I promise it's really going to bless you. If you are interested in preventing delay in your life and you want to get rid of certain idols, this is the guide for you. Click the link in the description box below.
Hello, angels. Happy Wednesday. Today, I'm super excited. I want to jump right into this. I got my girl, Caitlin, here. She has such a powerful testimony that I know is very relevant to a lot of women today. We're going to be talking about some amazing things, some heavy things, some deep things, some very raw, vulnerable, and honest things on today. So without further ado, let's welcome Caitlin to Quality Queen Control.
Hello.
Yes, I am so excited. So let me just start by saying I originally discovered you from YouTube. You literally showed up in my algorithm, your testimony video came up. Mm-hmm. And I saw the title of the video and I was like, wait, what? Like, what?
Like,
tell them what the title of the video was. Or
So, first of all, thank you so much for having me. I love everything you do. You're amazing. Yeah, it's crazy that you were drawn to me via YouTube. The title is real. It's a lot, but it says, God, it's my testimony sharing that God saved me from prostitution. So yeah, I had no idea that video was going to go as crazy as it went. It's funny because in the video, I was like, you know, it's fine. Nobody knew about that part of me, right? So I was like speaking on such a large platform. Like, what if it gets like hundreds of thousands of views? And it ended up doing it. That's like, yikes, you know, but
yeah,
Lord, it needed to get out, you know.
Amen. And before you even dive into that, the reason that I want to preface this by saying the reason I find this such an impactful thing to story to share is, one, tell the truth and shame the devil. And that is something that Caitlin is not afraid to do. She's not afraid to be raw, real, and vulnerable and honest. And that is what we need when people are sharing their testimonies, because it truly sets people free. Another reason I feel like this is so important to hear and tune into is because we live in a society where it is so heavily promoted. We as women, it is biblical. We all want a man to be a provider for us. But there's a huge world out here where we tend to feel like the only way, you know, in the secular world to achieve a man that's going to be providing for us, and you're living with a maybe like a Jezebelic spirit, because that's what happens a lot of the time when you're in a certain lifestyle where all your relationships are very transactional. And I resonated with your story because I saw myself potentially going down that same path of finding that lifestyle to be very enticing. And luckily, like, you know, God is sovereign and he like reeled me in really quickly. So please, like, get into your journey, your testimony of how this all began, and tell us more about you.
Yeah, I'm so happy you shared that too, because that's honest, you know, and my whole platform is based around vulnerability and transparency. And I think that culturally, it's such a norm, right? Like we see in culture, like getting a sugar daddy or having a man pay for your, you know, your section or pay for your bags and your like this thing has become so normal that you almost think there's nothing wrong with it, you know?
Yeah.
Even in the church, like a lot of male pastors, the conversation surrounding lust is geared towards men a lot of times. Mm. And like, I struggled with that since I was a little girl, you know, like that's something that has been impacting my family generationally for years, you know, decades. So, it's something that we're breaking.
Amen. For sure. Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I've been, and you can kind of, you know, when you deal with your trauma or when you kind of look back and pinpoint why you are the way you are, it's, you know, our experience form a lot of our opinions and the things that we go through. Mm-hmm. But, it started when I was a child, right? Regarding like sexual abuse as a child. And it just opened up a whole lustful kind of lifestyle for me, really. It started at like 7 years old. And I just remember always being really lustful, like always, you know, just kissing boys and like doing things really young. And then it kind of spiraled out of control as I got older. Mm-hmm. But with this particular experience, I remember it stemmed from greed, really. It stemmed from greed and pride a lot. Specifically, what happened was I had moved back into my dad's house temporarily because I moved out as a teenager. And when I went back into his house, we had gotten into an argument and he kicked me out. And I had saved up money to get my body done. Mm-hmm. And I had to spend all my money to move into my new apartment. So like all that $10,000 that I just saved up, I had to get rid of it. And I was so upset. And I was like, well, he's not going to stop me. My surgery was booked. Right. And I was like, I'm going to just go work at the strip club, you know? So that kind of catapulted me into this crazy lifestyle. And I didn't work there too long, but I worked there long enough to meet the wrong people, you know, to begin idolizing money in a way I never had before. You know, it was just like I had this desire. And it's a lot about what you consume, right? Consumption and proximity, I feel like. During that time, I remember I was fascinated for some reason with sex work. Like I started listening to sex podcasts.
Talk about it.
That are literally like, they're blistering my ear gates, you know, like they're consuming, they're getting into my mind, you know? So I started listening to sex podcasts. I started watching this YouTube channel and it was a channel where this man would interview homeless people. And it was an interesting channel, but I was watching the interviews with the pimps and the prostitutes and like all day. Like if I wasn't listening to a sex podcast, I was doing that while I'm like doing lashes and I'm doing my business, you know? Mm-hmm. And if I wasn't doing my business at night, I was working at the strip club. So I was just surrounded by this lifestyle, right? Like it looked glamorous to me and it looks like it just looked good. Like it looked like something that I wanted. I was really intrigued by it. And yeah, I just met the wrong people there. And I had a very bad drinking problem. I started drinking excessively, right? In order to partake in these acts too, I would have to be belligerent drunk. So I'm getting drunk on a daily basis to where I would black out and I would do crazy. Every time I got so drunk, I was doing these I felt like a sexual deviant. Like I would find out things that I would do the night before. And I'm like, how did I even get here? Like what happened? Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
So it was just constant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just really briefly, like just to touch on what you've already shared thus far, I think it's one, addressing the fact that a lot of people go and start, you know, getting into the strip club because it's a means to an end, right? Oh, I want to save up for school. It always starts out innocent. Like, oh, I want to save up for this. And then it's like, well, I'm already making this much money. Like, why don't I stay a little bit longer? And then now, like, every time you reach the goal, then the target keeps moving. Mm. And you're like, then you want to do this, you want to do that. And then it's like, I might as well stay here because I'm making good money. I could effortlessly afford my apartment. And not only am I making money, but now I'm making connections. And right. what can these guys do for me? And then it starts to breed a lifestyle. I think we've all been guilty of it, whether we've been conscious of it or not, where you feel like, man, the girls in the strip club, they know all the best beauty secrets. Like, I know it sounds crazy, but like, I really thought that at one point. I'm like, you know what? Listen, I've never really been into the strip club like that, but I went a couple times and I was like, man, like, what are the beauty secrets they know? What are the seduction secrets they know? Because then that spirit starts to, the Jezebelic like spirit almost, like it makes you want to figure out how to entice men, how to yeah. draw more men to you so that you yeah. can get more things from them. So I just wanted to touch on that. So yeah, continue.
No, absolutely. And it reminds me so much, and I relate so much to the story about the woman at the well. And when Jesus met her there, or he was there prior, you know, and then she went up and he's like, you will always thirst for more, you know, like from this well, this water that you drink, you will continue to be thirsty always. And I'm going to get into that later, because her story, like that particular story, resonates with me so deeply. Okay. I love that story. But yeah, you're always going to, it's never going to be enough. Just like with drinking or smoking, like my dad was an addict also. And weed was never enough, right? Like, I wanted to get higher. So for him, it was like a gateway drug. And it's like, we're always looking for something, you know? So absolutely. Thank you for touching on that. But, yeah, it kind of spiraled out of control. And then it was like, a bunch of things started happening where I became desperate for money. I decided like to leave the lifestyle, because it wasn't really in my nature, right? I wasn't really a girl that was outwardly like flirty and stuff. It was really when I was drunk that I would get like that. Or I had to be like one-on-one with somebody. I wasn't somebody like when I was working at the strip club, I would just be dancing on anybody. Like I was shy, you know?
Quick question. Sorry, I have to interject here. Is it true that in the private rooms that more goes on than we may anticipate? Like, does the full shebang go on in these private rooms?
They're not supposed to. I was like a quote unquote bottle girl, right? Mm-hmm. But I did do private rooms. I did a couple private rooms and mm-hmm. it was very weird in there for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they will try to get away with stuff.
Ah, mm-hmm. Okay. Cause I'm like, what's y'all doing behind them closed doors?
I think it also varies by like club, you know, like the security in the club. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff. Like that's why I feel like everything was open. I was open to a whole new world. Like it was crazy. And I was so curious about it. So I just wanted to get more information and learn more. And I was cool with people. And I'm like, this is crazy, you know? So it's true. Like you really go in there like innocent, you know, for the most part, or at least that was my experience. So I had left the strip club and I was working like doing bottle service at different lounges and stuff. Again, things that feel like they're normal, right? Like I'm just going like this with the bottles. It's nothing crazy. I could do that. I'm not doing anything crazy. But again, it's like this vault that you're just opening, you know, that you're exposing yourself to, and you have no idea how you're going to turn out. You know, it's really crazy. But I was doing the bottle service and I got in a little bit of a pickle. It's like, I don't know what started happening in my life, but I would say I had thousands and thousands of dollars saved up. Everything was just leaving, like stuff that was happening with my car, just everything was happening where my whole savings, I was just blowing through it. So I became desperate again. I was at odds with my family. I didn't really have another resource. I was like, you know what? I'm gonna reach out to this guy. I know what line of business he's in. So I got connected with him, and essentially he was like a drug dealer and a pimp and stuff. And he tried to get me to do a couple other things, but I had some sort of like moral compass where I felt like I didn't want to steal and rob people. I was like, I'm gonna just sell my body. It's cool. I do it for free. Let me just get some money. You know, that was my logic. And so many girls have this logic. It's really sad. It grieves me so deeply. Even the fact that used to be my literal way of thinking, you know? Mm-hmm. So I got into business with him and we started doing some things. But God was always there. He was always saving me from things, right? Like I remember just a couple instances where he wanted to put me on a website. It was like a dominatrix website or something. And it was like $600 that he had to sign me up with. And he always had cash. So he goes to the ATM. I was at the house getting ready. And he's putting his good cash into like a Chase ATM, a Chase bank. It was like 12 or 1 o'clock in the morning. He puts it in the ATM, and the ATM's not taking the money. And I mean, he was trying for a while, right? It wouldn't go through. So he comes to my house and he's like, Caitlin, I don't know what to tell you, but we're not doing this. Like, God doesn't want you to do this. And I remember being like, I don't care what God wants me to do. I have to do it. I don't care what he wants. You know, I got really upset because I didn't have a relationship with God. I didn't know, I knew nothing about Jesus except for his name, you know? So I didn't grow up like that. So to me, I'm like, well, I've got like God, he gonna do something then to make it work. Cause this is what I need to do, you know? And he wanted me to go on what's called the track. So that's where, you know, like where you see the prostitutes standing out and like going into cars. And I felt like I was too good for that. I was like, I'm not doing that. You know, like I wanted to do dates in different ways. So I saw God like stop me in those moments. Right. And it was maybe that next weekend or that same week that it was, I remember it was the end of the month. It was in October. It was at the end of the month and I needed my rent paid. And that guy, the pimp, he was going to be paying my rent. And I went to like a wedding in Florida and he wasn't answering his phone. He was supposed to give me the rent before I went and he wasn't answering his phone. Turns out he got arrested and he was in prison and I couldn't get the money. And now I was so stressed. I remember I had $800 to my name and it was in my pocket. And I was so upset about this and everything that I had going on that I got belligerent drunk, lost all my money. Like I had not a penny to my name. I remember at the end of the trip, I had to call my dad and I was just crying. I had nothing else to do. I didn't know what else to do. And I was just crying and he's like, what do you need? And I'm like, I need help with my rent. Like I have nothing. And he's like, okay. And I'm like, you have no idea what I've been doing. And he didn't even need to, he didn't say anything. He's just like, okay, we're going to get you out of there. You need to come visit Atlanta. So shortly after that, I went to go visit Atlanta and it was like, God was like, you need to give up everything here. So I surrendered everything. I left everything behind and I moved to Atlanta and I still didn't like, this is where I started to find God, right? Like I had a long drive. I enrolled in esthetician school and I had a, like an hour drive to and from school every day. And I just found myself like driving and talking to him, you know? And by the time I'm like 45 minutes in the drive, I'm like, oh, like I didn't even realize I was talking to him all this time. You know, and then I was still outside. I was still doing my things, drinking and stuff. I was smoking every single day for years. But finally, little things would happen, right? Like, and I feel like God was chasing after me and he was putting these little things. He was meeting me where I was at, right? Like I didn't find him when I went to church, right? He met me way before then. He met me while I was listening to my sex podcast. And they do this thing where they would share like their favorite song of the week. And this girl, I would never stop the podcast to listen to whatever song they talked about. But this particular day, she mentioned a gospel song. I've never heard gospel music before. And I stopped the song or I stopped the podcast and I played the song. And it was Something's Gotta Break by Kiara Sheard. So good. I was bawling, crying. And that's when I feel like my heart literally started softening and I just started getting curious. I'm like, this was so like, what are some other songs like this? And, then I remember another time I was driving home. I had my long drive and I was talking to God for like 45 minutes. And then I wanted to listen to something upbeat cause I was like pouring out to him. Right. And for some reason then the artist named Dochi popped into my head. I've never listened to Dochi in my life. Okay. So as I'm driving, I'm like typing in Dochi and I don't even know what song to click. I'm like going fast on the highway. I just press shuffle and the song that pops up is called God. And it was like, it's like an interlude kind of like, there's no singing. She's just talking. There's not even any music or beats. Like she's literally talking about God. It's a prayer. And I was just bawling. So things like that. He kept talking to me through music. I was in the shower. And my brother randomly sent me the song Yet. I forgot who that's by, but so good. And I just started being curious. I'm like, okay, like let me try to learn more. So I went on TikTok and I was like, I guess I should get a Bible. I don't know what kind of Bible to get. I don't know where to start. I just found like a popular one on TikTok, ordered it on Amazon, and maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks later, I started going to church. And that was September 17th of last year, and I've never stopped going to church. So all this has all happened within like a year and a half. But yeah, it's been crazy. God was really seeking me. But I feel like now, like being on the other end, I see why all of these things had to happen, because I need to be talking about these things, right? Like I can't necessarily relate to the girl who grew up in church her whole life, just in that regard, right? Like to where she maybe went to church, but she didn't have a relationship. But I can relate to the people who've never been to church. And at 29 years old, I found God. You know, while I was selling my body, I was having sex for money, and I was doing these things. That's where he met me.
Yeah.
You know, so I think sometimes we have this idea of coming to church when you're fixed, or coming to God once we have it all together. Like, oh, I'll meet him later. Like, I'm embarrassed right now. I don't even want to do it. You know, like, no, stay where you are. Just be curious, you know, just be open to him, and he'll just start sharing his goodness with you, you know?
Yeah. So it's just, I mean, honestly, again, like, I know, you know, with me, when I first started my channel, I was coming out of like a toxic situationship that I was in, pretty much. And I feel like that lifestyle of, one, I was like, okay, like I want to date a guy that's a provider. A guy that's a right. provider has to be someone that's massively wealthy. A lot of the guys that are very wealthy tend to be, they're not going to be your 28-year-olds or whatever the case is. They're going to be people that are like 40, pretty much. And then these guys that are 40 are a lot of the times, or usually older too, are lying about their age to begin with. And so I remember I would even get like, you know, like certain websites that would reach out to me to collaborate with me. And I was always like kind of confused, but I can understand how the messaging that I was talking about could have gotten misconstrued for like, oh, maybe she's into like this type of lifestyle too. It's a very slippery slope. Like, yeah. That's why I resonate with what you're sharing so heavily, because a lot of people are doing it. And so you start to become curious about what are these things? What is like a sugar daddy relationship? How do you get certain things from guys if you want a certain type of lifestyle for yourself? All these different things. And remember, like, it is biblical to be with a man that is a provider. That is still biblical. But what has mm-hmm. changed is my heart posture. Like, it's not this transactional thing where I feel like, you know, like I'm looking at guys like what can I get from this type of situation? Right. And I feel like it was definitely heading down that trajectory, especially when, you know, you're with these guys that are, you know, older or whatever the case is. It can easily also become a very toxic type of dynamic where they're leveraging their power and success over you. So you then become jaded and you are replicating these circumstances with someone else, or maybe you are dating someone or messing around with someone that is in a lifestyle like scamming, drug dealing, pimping, whatever the case is. And it also starts to lead you down a different trajectory of life. And again, when you are exchanging your body for money, essentially, and then what you said, you have that mentality of, all right, well, y'all are doing it for free. At least I'm getting paid. So who's the clown? Like, you start to feel like that's okay to have that mindset, because you feel like, first of all, this is why being saved, we understand why God doesn't want us participating in that period.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, like we soul ties. And that's why what people don't talk about is a lot of people that are in the, you know, industry, the SW industry, like sex work industry, or mm-hmm. whatever, the porn industry, whatever the case is, these people a lot of the times end up, like, you know, unaliving themselves and all these different things. They start to battle so heavily with their mental health because you're exchanging spirits and your body with so many people at that level, and you're having to basically be a character. You have to be whoever they want you to be for that night, for those moments. And you really start to lose yourself. And then I started to think to myself too, like, in that line of work, where do you stop? Mm-hmm. Where do you stop? Like, at what age do you just decide to stop? Because no, this is not a throw off to anyone, but even in the bartending industry, it's like you can easily be 40 years old and still bartending or whatever the case is. And it's like there's going to be 18-year-old girls that are just going to be getting into that, all these different things. Now, those girls become your competition. And then at what point do you stop using or weaponizing your beauty in exchange for money?
Yeah.
Like, there's weaponizing it, like, showing all this and all these different things. And again, it's just such a slippery slope that really needs to be talked about. Because also, how do you transition from dating normally after that, right? Because you start to get like, okay, so I'm showing up to this date. What is he bringing me on this first date? And then when you date like normally, you kind of still have those expectations. Like, so he didn't bring me like a bag, like, but he didn't give me a little bit of cash, like at the end of this date. Like, you start, it's so warped, like how your brain starts to, you know, it becomes when you're in that sort of lifestyle. And so this is why I feel like, man, like a lot of ladies I know can genuinely relate to your story, because this is very real. This, people do things like this all the time where, you know, as a woman, like, yeah, like we don't want to pay rent out here. Like, we really don't. But at the end of the day, like, there is, we have to surrender to what God, how God wants us to live. And there is no world where exchanging and weaponizing your beauty in exchange for any sort of sexual exchange is worth your sanity. It is not worth your soul. It is not worth your peace of mind. And then also, let's be real. This is a very real world out here where there are STDs. Like, you are putting yourself in harm's way when you are meeting up with a random guy, you know, depending on what, because there's so many avenues in like the whole like sex industry, I guess, like, depending on what avenue, I guess, you're in. Like, I also have a question. I remember a long time ago, someone wrote on my channel and I was like bawling out crying because it's the first time I ever heard the term escort. What is an escort and what is a prostitute? What's the difference?
I feel like they're all the same thing. So I guess in my video, I use the word prostitute just because it's sex work, right? Like, but when we think of prostitute, we think about the girls that are standing outside on the street, like on the track and doing those things. Escorting is basically being arranged, like an arranged date, you know, kind of thing. But basically I was escorting because I wasn't necessarily, but it's all sex work. I'm like, I think too, like we're trying to glorify it now, like, or not glorify it, but where it's so okay that it's like, I feel like a lot of people in some capacity they're selling their bodies, you know? So it's like, however you want to name it. Cause like somebody who's at the strip club and who is using someone for their money wouldn't necessarily say they are an escort or a prostitute, right? But they're still engaging in these acts, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's and like, then, where do we draw the line?
Yes, where do we draw the line? And then there's like a lot of advice that's out there. And I truly like repent if I ever even participate in any of this with my older content. But like, there's a lot of advice out there where it almost pits men like, and it paints men in a light of, oh, well, you better do whatever is possible to get to the bag. Like, you better do this. And people don't realize that that lifestyle also leads you into like kind of witchcraft, where you then start to research dark psychology, the art of seduction. Like, you start to research like how to seduce men. Then you want to research the archetypes. Am I a siren? How do I like start to hone in on that even more? And you really start to weaponize like, you know, seducing and sexualizing yourself so that you can get gain whatever you're hoping. You want to get a Louis Vuitton bag. You want to get all these material things. And I'm saying this, like, ladies, like, truly, it all sounds well and good, but it is just not worth your soul. You're going to pay a price for living a lifestyle like that. And also, there's no ending to it. Yeah. At some point, you're going to have, if you want, you want to become a mother, maybe some of you want to, I'm sure a lot of us want to get married, all these different things. And it's like, you will find yourself incapable of forming true attachments and bonds to people because you've only ever done things transactionally. So there's a lot of healing that will begin to need to take place when that's the place that you're dating from. And so I find that the dark psychology, the seduction, the, you know, even like sex magic, all these different things start to play a role. Even people using, you know, sex to manifest. Have you ever heard of that before? Like, people are using like sex to manifest things in their life. You ever heard of that?
No, like I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know. It's some sort of like witchcraft that people do, but they like basically have to bring themselves to the peak of pleasure. And like, they're like thinking of an idea. I don't know, thinking of something in their head and like at that peak point, and then it will like manifest like in their lives, whatever it really is. And at the end of the day, like, I think what needs to be clarified is that, one, there is nothing wrong with wanting a man to provide for you at the end of the day, but it is our heart's posture that tells us everything that we need to know. We cannot objectify, hot take, men and look at them as like, oh, well, what am I going to get out of this since I'm going to be giving you my body, and expect the opposite to not happen to us, where men are thinking like, oh, well, how can I trick her out of her underwear pretty much with doing the least? You know what I mean? So there is it's a delicate dance. And what would you say are some things that you have definitely taken away from, you know, your experience in coming to Christ? Like, what are the biggest takeaways from coming out of that like industry, essentially?
I think the number one biggest thing was just realizing my identity in Christ. Like, once because I think that's the bulk of it, right? Like, mm-hmm. if you have a solid foundation and you understand that you are a child, you are his baby, you know, then you don't want to do these things that are unpleasing to him, but also that are not nice to yourself. You know, like, once I started realizing that the way in which he was chasing me, you know, it was a healthy way. It was a healthy love. It was, he didn't need anything from me, you know? So then you look at your past relationships and these men that you're engaging with, like you said, everything's transactional. Yeah. Maybe I think I'm not doing too much. I'm just doing a little of this, a little bit of that. But like you said, you're getting manipulative. You have to lie. You lose your identity because now you're acting like somebody you're not. Like, I got to act like I like him for real, and I don't, you know, period. Or else he'll stop mm-hmm. doing the things for me. You know, so it is transactional, and you are losing who you are at your core. But with God, you don't have to. Yeah. With the Lord, you can just be yourself fully, you know, and he loves you as you are. Right. And the closer I got to him, those things just started falling off. I remember I met him essentially like in September last year, but I was also dealing with somebody in September of last year. And I remember I started feeling convicted, but I didn't know what it meant yet. I was just like, why do I not want to have sex anymore? Like, why do I not want to drink anymore? Why do I not want to smoke? What's going on? And I just feel like it was because I was falling in love with Jesus. You know, and falling less in love with the world. I was like, his love just felt so pure to me, you know, and it's truly in a way that you can't describe, you know, but it's like, once you feel it, I just felt like I can't go back to partaking in these things. I felt yucky. Like, I just didn't feel good anymore, you know? So one, definitely realizing my identity, realizing that God genuinely create, like, I didn't just come out of the blues, you know, like, I'm here purposefully, you know, and he loves me as I am, and he created me, you know. So realizing that was just like the number one thing that I realized versus my old life. Yeah, I feel like that's the main thing. And I think that when I was thinking back to that story, again, the woman at the well, for me, it was just, it was so crazy how he met her, right? Like, and I'll just summarize, you know, I know you know it, but anybody watching, I'll just summarize it. Basically, Jesus, and a few takeaways was Jesus was there where she already was coming to. You know, he already met her where she currently was going. He didn't come. He went to the well. It was blazing hot. He went there at noon where she would be, you know, versus her counterparts that were there at like early in the morning. No, he met at this specific time. So his timing is just so perfect. Every time I needed to go through things, those things at that particular time for him to meet me at this time and now prepare me, you know, so I can help encourage his children, you know? So he was at the well, she comes and, you know, they talk for a little bit and she's like, who are you essentially? And he's like, well, go get your husband. And she's like, well, I don't have a husband. And he's like, you're right. You have five husbands, you know, the man you're with right now ain't even your husband. And mm-hmm. It's just such a testament to God seeing you in every season that you're in. Like he's there throughout it all. He knew me. He knew what people would find shame in. He saw me then too, you know? So just like, I guess realizing his real love for you,
yes,
you know? Yes. And then, just after that, she runs to her town and tells them her testimony. And it's just, I guess that's what I'm doing now, you know, like so just good. Sharing his yeah. goodness, because once you know about him, it's like, you can't unknow, you know, and just you will always be searching the world, the envy, like you said, when you are in the strip club, it's a different level of competition there. Right. Like it's a different, I'm having to find new ways to outdo people. And I'm like, now I'm even hyper analyzing myself. Like, oh, I don't like this here. I do have to get my body done more. And I do have to do this more. And I don't have these designer bags. It's like a constant tussle with myself but remaining calm. It's genuinely losing your human, who you are, your essence. Cause now I have to fake who I am and just be this person, this just glamorized fake version of myself, you know,
yeah.
all for the sake of trying to achieve something that I will never find peace in.
Exactly. Exactly. That is the thing too, is I don't think that people really understand that truly there is no peace in all of these external things. And I know it's like, oh, shut up. It's probably because you guys already had those things or whatever the case is, but please, like we're telling you genuinely, we're not 60 years old. We are literally, we're young and we cute. Understand, like, period. So we are telling you, being young, still being beautiful in our prime, like it is just simply not worth it. Like, and that lifestyle, seriously, like it leads you down such a path where you become you feel incapable of letting it go. How do I date normally now? How what are things going to look like now for me? And then also you sort of lose, like you lose your purpose completely because you don't even know what your purpose is. There are some people that I have spoken to with the coaching and things that I've done over the years that have been in this industry of, you know, even camming and all it's like, it goes into so many different avenues and they truly have like nonstop struggled with how to even like afford things at all for themselves because the only thing that they really were using were their bodies. And so now you're going on 35, you know, 36 years old, mid to late 30s, and you are completely redoing life all over again because it's like being a drug dealer, right? Where it's like, man, I'm going from making this fast cash and now you want me to work a 9-to-5? Like, no, like you have this like scheming way about yourself where you feel like, no, I want to cut the line. I don't feel like actually waiting. So I say all that to say, like, for all of my like younger, you know, subscribers, like listeners, like I really, really do highly suggest that you guys take what we are saying to heart, because it is very real out here. And look at all that what's going on. Like, this is, it's a war for your soul out here. Like, yeah. And in a lot of ways, why do you think, like, the enemy, like, utilizes the pride of life. He utilizes the lusts of the flesh and the lusts of the eyes as well, to make all these things desirable to our appetite, because he knows, like, in our flesh, you know, our flesh is weak. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's our spirits that have to carry us through. And it's hard to tap into that sometimes. I get it, when, because we are fleshly beings, but we are also still spiritual beings as well. And so it feels like, man, like, there's always temptation everywhere. But look at the lifestyle of a lot of these girls. Like, where is it getting them? Like, look at Diddy. What's happening with Diddy? All these years, he thought he was going to get by, because he has. Mm-hmm. He got by with doing all these heinous things to people and forcing people into these types of situations. Notice that it's always sexual. It's always drugs and sex and rock and roll that people are getting into. It's never like, it's never anything else, because the enemy knows how powerful it is to use our flesh against us. Mm-hmm. Like, that's why it's a tale as old as time. And so that's why it's the same. And the enemy honestly loves to use beautiful people to, you know, to bring us to our downfall. And that's why I say I'm glad that women like us are utilizing, even as some people may think it sounds weird to say, because I saw a TikTok, I think, of someone saying, like, use your beauty for Christ now.
Yeah.
And I don't see anything wrong with that. Like, people don't expect people that maybe look like us to be talking about God, because people have this perception that, oh, since you're Christian now, you're like, you don't wear makeup, you don't really care about, like, glamming yourself up, or whatever preconceived notion that other people may have. And I do agree with that sentiment. Like, utilize what your natural beauty to draw people in to Christ. You know, why not? So I think it's important to turn these things into gifts, you know, for the kingdom. Like, what would you say, what advice would you have for people that are still stuck in that lifestyle?
You touched on so many good things, especially the fact that the enemy makes things look beautiful, right? Like, things that are satanic and demonic. Like, it's so funny, because my pastor today, he was talking about how, and I didn't know this, but Lucifer, you know, as an angel, he was, I think, made out of musical notes or something, and he was beautiful. But then he took, you know, he got cocky, and he was like, oh, I'm so beautiful, I'm better than God, you know? And so even the first sin was derived off of pride and off of, like, self just
gratification.
I don't even know, righteousness and all these things. Yeah, like, it was a lot. The first sin, you know, committed on earth, you know, when Eve was like, when the serpent was like, oh, this, it's a delectable thing. Eat it. It's nothing. Who cares? Look at how delicious. And she was like in awe of its beauty. That's from the book. You know, like, that's crazy how the enemy wants to kill, steal, and destroy, right? So he's going to make things that look appeasing to us, that look delectable and pleasing, and they look good outwardly. Diddy's situation is such a good one to bring into this too, like, because it's real. And it's like, and that's here on earth. Like, once we're done here, you can't take the bags with you. You can't take the body with you. The make, nothing goes with you when you leave here. And you have to go to him. You have to go before him and take an account for everything you've done out here. And how, like, what are you going to say then? You know, so there's just so many things to note that are scary, you know? And even the thing with the money, it's true. Like, that lifestyle there, it's like a means to an end. Like, where does it end? You're just gonna, it's a cycle. You see it now. We see it in a lot of the girls, you know, being from New York, you see the older bottle girls, they're still in the clubs. You know, they'll probably leave for a couple years to get some more work done. They look beautiful, but their boyfriend breaks up with them, or they break up with him, and they're back in the clubs. That's real facts. Like, or they'll become a lash tech or something, you know, but they really, they're still working at the clubs, you know? So it's, and these people are people with kids. These are people that are older, but they just keep, you have to keep up with it, right? Now you got to keep getting more work. You got to keep up the facade. It's never ending. And I think that the most humbling thing, and I didn't touch on this when I made my testimony, but because it didn't happen yet. But when I tell you, God has humbled me this year. Okay. As soon as I gave my life to Christ in September, I'm in a worse financial bind now than I was when I was struggling and desperate for money back then. But when I tell you, I have never gone a single time, not a single bill has been missed. I didn't go hungry. I lived in a luxury high-rise apartment that got paid for. You know, he gave my dad the means to be able to help me, right? So maybe he didn't physically give me the means, but he equipped other people because he knows that I submitted to him during that time and I just needed time with him. So will this walk be easy? No, we are not claiming that this walk is going to be easy, but the Lord will equip you. The Lord will, he will never leave you or forsake you. That's his promise. That's in the book, you know? So there will be provision over your life, but there are seasons, right? There are peaks and valleys. And in those valleys, now he's teaching me, if I went 29 years without knowing him, there's a lot of things that have to get broken down about me in my personality and the things that ways that I think. So those things had to get broken down. So my idolization of money, my dependence on money had to go away. I needed to learn how to steward things properly. So that's what he's teaching me now. Will I be like this forever? No. Have I ever gone without? No. But he's completely renewed my mind. You know, so if you're currently in that lifestyle, coming to Christ, we are not saying, I know there are people, because people on Instagram or TikTok, I know a lot of people like to portray that, oh, I was a year later, my whole life changed and it was this beautiful thing and I have all these luxury things. That defeats the whole purpose of surrendering to God. That's not what we're doing. Mm-hmm. I mean, surrendering. I mean, like, God, I want you to wring me out. Whatever is not like you, I don't want it, you know? And I literally have done that. And I think that these are the stories that's important. I was doing things for money. Mm-hmm. I gave my life to Christ. I'm still broke, you know, but that's not the end of my story. You know, he has given me purpose. He has given me peace in the midst of my struggles. There's joy there, right? So expect to, another thing that he will do though, he will equip you with the community and the people that'll surround you while you're going through the valleys. Amen. Right. So I couldn't have done this on my own. Mm. And I think that if you are still in this lifestyle, I know for a fact that you're searching for something. I know for a fact. And it will not be found anywhere except coming to Jesus. I done did it all, except I didn't do hard drugs. That's probably the only thing, because I was scared because my dad was a drug addict. But other than that, like, I've done it all. So, and I don't miss it. That doesn't mean that the temptation isn't there, right? That doesn't mean that I still won't be tempted with those things or those feelings or, you know, those lustful thoughts, right? But there's a sanctification process. And that means that there's a process of you to become. I wasn't like this last year, but I'm like this now. That means throughout these last 12 months, he slowly but surely put it in my heart to break those chains off of me. Just like, first I stopped drinking, then I stopped smoking. I didn't want to go to the hookah bar. And I loved hookah, okay? I was a hookah mommy. I stopped wanting to do those things. And then little by little, they just fell off of me. And he hasn't left me not once. That's not my story. That's not anybody's story that I know that's ever been saved by Christ. So, he loves you so much. And he's looking for you. Don't even think about how will I date another? Like, what would that look like? Because that is a real thing. What does that look like? But I promise you, just understanding your identity in Christ, that he loves you so much. None of these men could do whatever. Jesus Christ will love you with no strings attached. Okay. It is not by your works. So just start talking to him. That's the best thing you can do, is just start talking to him and just get curious.
Yes.
And it'll fall into place. You don't even got to think of all the other steps yet. Just talking.
That is literally biblical. And I understand in our flesh, it's hard to do that. To your point, you said it's not by our works. That is something definitely that even I struggle with at times, because even non-related to like that particular lifestyle, but just in general, like it feels like in society, our worth is tied to what we produce. And our status in life, because at the end of the day, like, everybody likes nice things. You know what I mean? Like, we're girly girls. Like, we like to look nice. We like to look presentable. Like, these are things that are naturally a part of ourselves. And I think, again, it's such a delicate dance of, like, trying to find the balance of, like, okay, so, like, do I completely abandon, like, this part of myself because I got saved? It's like, no, guys, just because we're saved doesn't mean we're going to, like, not wear makeup and, like, not want to look cute or whatever the case is. But our heart posture has changed. That's the thing. It's the heart posture. Because at the end of the day, like, when you switch your identity, which is what you touched on, which is so profound, your identity is no longer in this bag, that bag. And it's such a real story, because when you live this, you know, lifestyle, and you, like, again, we're still young, but when you live this lifestyle and you don't abort mission, you know, if you're lucky to meet at 29, at 30, then you're going to end up 40, 50, and then you're going to have more of an excuse to stay in it. And then you're going to feel like, man, I don't, what is it going to look like now? I'm 45 years old and I'm going to go back to my parents' house. Like, I understand the shame. I understand the embarrassment, but that is precisely one of the tools that the enemy, he wants to make it easy to get into the sin and very difficult to eradicate it. That's how it is. It's always a slippery slope. You get in the web and now you can't get out, and you're being sucked dry by a spider, the sin, right? You're being depleted and you don't see it, because in the moment it's feeding your fleshly appetite. It's what you want. It's what you desire until slowly but surely, because everyone, that lifestyle, because it's not of God and because we know Christ is the ultimate authority, it leads nowhere. And so after a while, you start to see yourself, like in Diddy's case, he had people that are authoritative figures on his side, knowing all these years, all the things that he's been doing. He even bold-faced lied with Cassie, denying what he did to her, and then the video came out, and then he wants to say, my bad, I was in a dark place. Like, there is nothing, especially in today's climate, let this serve as a warning to you guys, that whatever's in the dark is going to come to the light. Let what is happening to these people that feel so far out of our reach, let it serve as a lesson for us that we are not exempt from the things that we also may be participating in that may come to the light. I understand we may still struggle with certain things. Like, that's not what I'm talking about. But if you are seriously, like, you've been feeling the conviction that God really wants you to get out of a certain lifestyle, I beg you to take heed to this, to this message, and learn. And honestly, Caitlin, I'm so thankful for you sharing your journey, because that surrenderance part is very serious when God is undoing things in you. And I feel like that's what it has been for me. And I feel like I started getting serious about my faith 2 years ago. And I have grown up in the church all my life. I have. Mm-hmm. And I really started to know God for myself in 2016. But I still had to go through different trials and tribulations. And in 2022, I really was like, all right, let me, like, really buckle down here and get into prayer, fasting, learning my authority in Christ, and, you know, generational curses and breaking, renouncing, denouncing, deliverance, that whole thing. Like, I went and I took a more powerful route. And so I learned, like, man, like, there is nothing worth it in this life. And I'm still, even in this year, as I'm in a transitional phase myself and finding my footing spiritually and spiritually maturing, I still feel like, wow, just when I think I surrendered, God is wanting me to surrender even more. Like, talk about humbling, like, God, please. Like, so I completely get it. So thank you so much for sharing your testimony. You guys really need to subscribe to Caitlin's channel. All of her information will be in the show notes down below, because she is so, so amazing, and she's going to reach the masses and really help so many women around the world, because we need people like you to shed light on these things when there are other people on the internet that are making it seem like, oh, it's a cool thing to have a Jezebelic like spirit. It doesn't matter if you manipulate men for money. It doesn't matter if you're going to be, you know, having sex, as long as you're getting paid for it. There's this mentality out there, and a lot of women are caught in that lie, because that's what it is. Because Satan, not only is he an accuser of the brethren, but he is also the prince of lies. And he will keep us trapped in deception where we feel like this is the only way. I would rather deal with the shame of making it look like to us mere mortals, like, oh, what is she doing with her life? Is she even really winning? And be saved, knowing where my soul is going, my spirit is going at the end of the day, then look cool here on earth, knowing that I'm going to hell.
Yeah.
That's something that we really need to consider.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and when you think about it like that, like everything is spiritual. Yes. It's like you see people different. Like you see people walking around. Like I haven't been back in a strip club since, but I imagine if I go in, I would just feel grieved and like, wow, the spirits in here are really like, they don't even look like this pretty woman that's walking around with a nice body. They're like ugly and nasty, you know?
Yeah.
And once you start seeing it like that, it's like, oh, these, ooh, Lord.
Mm-hmm. It's so many spirits that attach itself.
Yeah.
To you in that lifestyle, pride, greed, lust, you know, and that breeds fornication and manipulation and just a lot of dark. And it's really overall, it's seducing spirits, breeding more seducing spirits. And it's also very predatory at the same time, because you have gentlemen that attend these places, especially for girls that are young and maybe they grew up in. They've grown up in broken homes, all these different things. And that's all that they know is this is what it is. This is the only type of relationship that I have with a man. So how can they believe in a good father such as God caring for them when they haven't seen any example of that in their life? And so it's hard to really put your faith in something when you feel like, considering your circumstances, that you had to always manufacture and like force your way through things. So it's hard to accept the concept of, man, it's not by my works that I'm saved. You mean to tell me that like Jesus really died for me? Like, wow, like he really made the sacrifice for me, like all these different things. And I get it. But again, like we really hope that you guys take heed to this message. And again, thank you so much, Caitlin, for coming on the show. I mean, this has been so eye-opening. And definitely, when you come to New York, we're going to have you here on the couch in person.
I'm excited.
Yes, yes, yes. We're definitely going to have her back. So if you guys have any questions or anything, make sure, one, you are following Caitlin on her YouTube channel, on her Instagram as well. She is the exact same person she is on YouTube. She is exactly that way in real life, guys. She's so easy to talk to. She's so down to earth, and she is so real, raw, and vulnerable. So thank you so much, Caitlin, for coming on the show. Are there any other closing remarks that you have?
No, I love you so much. Thank you so much for having me. And yeah, follow me, guys. But I'll be back. We're gonna do a lot more yapping when I'm there.
Yes, yes, we absolutely will. So with that being said, do not forget, guys, that I love you and God loves you. And I'll speak to you, beautiful angels, in my next podcast episode. Mwah.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
L-E-T-E-N-P-C. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.